from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
Here we are, your hosts for Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And my name is Rich.
And we also have Josh.
Hey, my name is Josh.
Yeah. Josh, you might recall, is sort of the harbinger of Golgatron. And, you know, you should visit that website, golgatron.com, because we love it. It's really part of the Chatterbox family. I would call Golgatron a Chatterboxer, in fact.
So speaking of family, I also wanted to give a shout out to all my Camp Game students that I've been terrorizing for the past 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, you finished
shout
your first
out.
2 weeks, huh?
Yes, that's right.
And so you're still involved, but it's not like the first 2 weeks, which were like a major focus was on your class. Right?
Well, for those that don't know, I mean, I've mentioned it once or twice before, but you know, Camp Game is this thing I do with a couple of friends of mine, where we basically teach high schoolers how to make video games. And so we're doing a kind of different thing this year than we did in previous years, where now this year we have basically these discipline-specific intensive camps that we do for 2 weeks, which just finished. And then the luckier kids who haven't gotten enough from the 2 weeks get to go on and do the whole shebang, where they team up, right? So the artists who are in an artist camp, they'll go on and team up with designers who are in the designer's camp. And they join forces, and we help them actually make a real mod that actually extends the game, and you know, it ends up, you know, close to pretty much being its own game of itself.
I'd be interested in comparing what they produce in, was it 6 weeks?
Yeah,
6 weeks to like the sort of final projects I've seen come out of students from universities, right?
Well,
this is our master project.
I've been pretty impressed. I mean, the Unreal Engine is a really awesome engine, and the tools are really awesome. So it's it's actually makes it very easy to make stuff look good. But if you're doing all your own stuff, which is what we're going to have them do, right? Like up till now, we basically, at least in the design camp, we basically make them make maps, and we show them how to do that and how to do deathmatch maps, and they use all of you know, the assets that come with the game, which is nice because it just looks awesome. It just looks like, you know, you just spent, you know, a whole development cycle making assets when you didn't. You just used the pieces that came with the game. But now they're going to do it on their own, and yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a challenge.
They'll realize how difficult it is to make good assets, or?
Well, it's you know, it's a skill just like any other, right? So, yeah, I think that most, especially high schoolers, I think when they first start to kind of investigate these kinds of things, when they first come to the camp, they have these expectations, and it usually ends up being much harder than they think. Although, if any of them are listening right now, maybe they can call in and give us some of their opinions on if this actually ended up being harder or easier than they expected.
They're welcome to 866-536-1100. We've got an hour in front of us to talk about all sorts of things. you in fact actually have what seems like a notebook full of stuff to talk about. I real quick just want to say that I finally did get to play Prototype. I think I put like an hour in to Prototype. Have anybody else here?
No, I've
I played it for about 10 minutes and haven't played it since.
One of my friends put it very succinctly the other day. He said that he has no interest in playing a game with another brown city. and I would echo that sentiment. Although I don't know how brown the city actually is, I've seen things about the game, and it just never piqued my interest, honestly.
It's not necessarily brown, but it certainly doesn't stand out to me as something that's very
grayish.
Colorful.
Yeah.
Right.
So why didn't you play it for more than 10 minutes?
It's not that it was bad. It's just I started playing. Well, I finished Dead Space, and then I've been playing Fallout 3 again with some mods I've been using. And that's way more fun than Prototype.
So. I would have expected you to be all over this one, Rich.
It looks like a fun game, and I've heard some decent things, some mixed reviews on it.
But you just play Fallout 3 over and over again with different mod packages.
Well, Fallout 3 is just more fun, and there's some sick mods.
But that really, I've been playing. The real question should be, I think, is which city is browner?
Actually, with the mods I'm using, Fallout 3 has way more color in it. Because it increases the saturation a little bit.
Oh, what's that? What, people made mods to make Fallout 3 actually pleasing to look at?
Yeah.
yeah, I don't play Fallout 3, so I don't know.
It's awesome. Fallout 3 is more greenish, too, with that nuclear fallout going on.
My first impression of Prototype, not Fallout 3, is that it for that game to be good, it requires really fantastic control, because it's all about moving around a city, you know, in whatever direction you
want.
Don't
you, like, throw helicopters at, like, carriers and
Sure.
Eiffel Towers at other things?
I don't know if you're throwing Eiffel Towers.
Okay. I just took a leap there. Just wanted to see where
it landed. No, that's cool. But you do definitely throw tanks and, you know, large shards of doors and
I suppose if you could throw it after you threw it once, you couldn't throw it again.
The Eiffel Tower, you
mean. Right.
I don't see why that's true. If you could throw it once, why not throw it several
times? I guess so. I guess it's a video game after all.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a javelin that would fly into space. But so the game, overall positive feelings, but its control was a little bit disappointing because it's good, but it's not great. And I would have expected... See, I don't know if I ever expect greatness out of the controls, but it was a little bit jerkier than I wanted.
Okay, so
than I was expecting.
Now you've piqued my interest, because I'm always curious when people actually start to speak critically about controls. If do you think you could actually explain in words, in a relatively concise way, what makes the control not so great?
Yeah. So there's a lot of jerky motions. It could be more fluid. So, for instance, you know, you're moving or running in a direction, and then you want to move in the other direction. It doesn't happen as quickly as I'd like. Now, maybe it's unrealistic to have him be able to turn around, do a 180 instantly.
He's super mutant.
So, but that me sounds like that would be the result of the controls almost being too smooth and there being too much animation and the animation not being able to catch.
No, it's not a question of the animation, and this is something that is not possible to describe in words. You'd have to see that. Yes, it's not a question of it completing a set of animations in order to turn the guy.
Gotcha.
That's what's happening. But
is it a lag in controls between when you turn the other direction and when it actually does it, or is it just
it seems like that, but I don't want to put that in stone yet, because really, like, I wasn't concentrating on analyzing it when I was playing it for the first hour. I was just sort of playing it and going, oh, this is weird. But one thing also is that you do a lot of climbing up buildings or running up buildings as if they were ground. You just run right up a vertical building, and so there's oftentimes the camera isn't zoomed out as much as I think it should be, and so it's positioned in such a way where you don't necessarily know that you're coming to an edge, either an edge that's vertical on the left or right of the building,
and you don't have enough
or
time
that you're
to
on the
react
top ledge
to that.
Well, not just that, you might find yourself going off of the ledge on the side. So if you're running up it vertically and you want to keep going upwards, and then suddenly you find yourself at the edge of the building and it doesn't wrap you around, you instead just fall off.
Yeah.
Or there's a lot of buildings that that stagger, like staircases, right? So you go up a certain amount, and then the building instantly gets thinner at a certain floor. So there's this ledge,
right?
And then it continues upwards. So when you do that, sometimes he'll perform certain animations of flipping to get back onto the building, and that's kind of cool. But at the same time, it's a little frustrating when you get to the very top of the building, and
so you're there and you don't know it yet.
Well, that's part of it. But in addition, once you get there, you also might do this animation, like, flip thing, and you might end up back on the side of the building when what you really want is to be on the top. Or vice versa. You might get on the top when you're trying to stay on the side.
Well, at least they bring you closer to the action.
It's a hell of a lot better than a lot of other games that try to do this parkour free-running thing, right? Like I always rag on the original Assassin's Creed for claiming up and down that it was all... It introduced this amazing parkour system and actually did it very poorly, where you could only run up a building perfectly vertically, like you couldn't go up sideways or anything. This allows you to do a lot more. And one thing that is weird, but not bad, is that it doesn't jump when you press the jump button. It jumps when you release the jump button. And that's
kind of curious.
There's a totally valid reason, and it's that through the course of the game, like, you can upgrade your all sorts of... all sorts of characteristics of your player.
Is there like a charge mechanic somehow?
Exactly. You're charging your jump, right? And you can increase your jump by purchasing, basically, jump increase power, right? And you can have air dashes and, you know, rolls and different different offensive powers, defensive powers, cloaking powers, all sorts of different things. So, actually, I'm not so sure there's cloaking powers. You just have... There's one cloaking power. Either you can or you can't. But anyway... So there's all sorts of powers that you increase, including jump, which is vital, right, for mobility around the city. And so at the very beginning when you play the game, you're expecting to be jumping, and you realize, no, it jumps upon release, which was a little bit confusing in the beginning, but I don't want to blame that for bad control.
It took some time to get used to. No. Especially if there's a charge mechanic involved.
It's vital to the controls, too, because you can charge while you're in the air. So you jump up, and then you start charging before you land so that you can release again as soon as you land. So it's really vital to the control, but just a little bit confusing when you start. So I need to give it some more time. It's good, but control could be a little bit better. And I'm waiting to see if there's anything other than just like running around and hitting stuff, because that seems like what it is. But when you continually get new powers, it's always fun to just run around and hit stuff.
Right.
All right. So we've got a minute or so before the end of the segment. Can we lead into some of the stuff we'll be talking about the rest of the show?
Yeah, well, let's pick something easy to start out with, to warm up with. How about this Fight Night Round 4 business?
I would like to talk about that. Before the show, we realized that you and the rest of us seem to have differing opinions on this subject.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that. What is another one of the big hitters?
All right, or we can just go through all of them and not end up talking about any of them, but that's cool. But anyway... So Kotaku did an interesting article about the in defense of the classic controller, which is once again Natal related.
Now we're not talking about like the old NES two button controller and a D-pad.
By classic controller they just mean a controller,
as opposed to
no controller, which is Natal's feature,
or a skateboard controller or a dance controller.
Right, that's true. And there's this absolutely crazy quote by Don Matrick from Microsoft, which just induces all kinds of rage in sensible gamers that we'll talk about when we come back.
And yeah, you'll get to hear it when we're back. And Josh, you'll still be here when we get back.
Of course.
Arizona's News Talk Leader. KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. If you'd like to give us a call, you can do that at 866-536-1100. And I believe, Alon, you may have some housekeeping also.
You know, the sort of housekeeping that we do here is the sort of housekeeping that pays bills. So I want to remind everyone that they should visit the University of Advancing Technologies website, uat.edu, and learn about the programs they have to offer you as a student in the gaming industry. So Fight Night Round 4. Tell me what concerns you about Fight Night Round 4.
Oh, you're going to mix it up on me again.
Well, the Sony thing I think is bigger. We can get this one out of the way real fast.
All right, let's get that out of the way.
And I know that Josh is familiar with this controversy.
This is not really like even official news, but because because we run a tight ship here and we're just that kind of show. Apparently, Fight Night Round 4 doesn't come with the option to configure your control, right? And specifically, they have this scheme where you use the joysticks to do all the moves, and even though previous versions of the game allowed you to change the control scheme between that and just regular, more standard, conventional face buttons where you press the button to punch instead of use the analog stick. So you can't do that in this game, and they're saying, well, maybe it will be downloadable content.
All right, history lesson. I believe it was the first two Fight Nights that only used the standard button mapping, and then the third one introduced it and made it, I believe they made it default, but then allowed you to switch.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so can we talk about the reasons why a developer might make the new control scheme default while allowing the other control scheme?
Well, sure. They're communist bastards. Can I say that on the air?
Sure. I don't agree, but
this is
America. So I think what happened here is that they wanted to do something new, not just the same old boxing game that they'd already done for two generations and has been done time and time again. They decided we have this new play control. I think they call it, was it Punch Control or Total Punch Control or something?
Something like that.
They've given it a name.
All right.
Yes.
There's some sort of name for the special control that tries to make more realistic mapping of the player's arms to the analog sticks, which you might say kind of like boxing motions, right? So if you sweep to the outside, then he would take a sweeping motion with his arm, that sort of thing.
Right.
So they try to do that. They think this is a much better scheme. However, it's different than what people are used to, so we're going to have the old scheme there. But we're going to make this default, not just put it in the game and then hide it in a menu where no one's going to use it. We're actually going to put it in the game and make it default. So the first time they open it up, they're going to realize there's this new control scheme and
well,
they should learn it.
They want you to use that control scheme.
And now they gave it to us for a whole generation of game. For Fight Night 3, that was there, but you could switch to the other one. And now Fight Night 4, now it's just this special play control method.
Right.
But now so many people whined and bitched about it.
So do you, I mean, do I, to me it seems like it just goes without saying, but do you need me to explain why this is horrendously bad?
Yeah, I disagree.
Apparently Rich does too.
Yeah, I don't see why this is. They want to change the control scheme. It's their game.
Well, of course it's their game, right? But also, there's no logical reason to foist upon the player a certain kind of control scheme, especially when your ability to provide them an alternate is essentially trivial.
Well, here's the argument I might make, and this. Actually, thinking about you may not be a perfect analogy for you, because I was going to make the automatic versus manual transmission analogy.
I'll try.
So I was going to say, you as a car enthusiast might say, hey, Elon, you're a loser. Why do you always get automatic transmission? Now, forget the fact that I drive a Prius that's not offered as manual, but don't you want manual transmission where you have full control of your vehicle? I mean, come on. Only pansies drive automatics. Elon, you're not a pansy, are you?
Well,
sort of conversation like
some
that.
Some people would say that. I mean, personally, I wouldn't, and maybe that's where the example goes bad, but...
Because I've heard people refer to your kind of car as a pansy car because it's only, like, pretend manual.
Well, right. Well, they just can't handle the awesomeness of a sequential transmission.
I like the thing that you've got.
I do, too. But anyway, no, it's just the kind of thing where it's just like, yeah, it's just the machismo.
But my
angle,
point is, they would say, listen, you don't know how to do it now, but just... get this car, or deal with my car, whatever. Deal with a manual transmission for a while. You'll get used to it, and you'll like it better, and you'll realize why you should never go back.
Well, there is something to be said for that. In order to really properly judge whether, you know, one control scheme is better than another,
you have to give it a fair shake.
You do have to give it a fair shake.
And
but,
change is not easy.
And it's not. But what are we talking about here? You know, we're not talking about... you know, like some kind of moral thing that the player should do. This is purely a medium of whimsy in a lot of ways. And specifically, it's one in the way of if a player is used to playing a game in a certain way, which, you know, there are a lot of Fight Night players that are prefer, and then they have very specific performance-related reasons why they like the button scheme where you're actually hitting the face buttons over the other one. Especially when, again, also, there's really no real cost to giving them that option. I would say, why not? The only thing you're doing is you're just saying that, well, even though especially you were used to doing it this way, and this is a good way to do it, just because we've just declared by fiat that there will be no more of this in this universe of the game,
I think of it almost
you shouldn't be able to use it.
Like the Wii. I mean, let's compare Wii Sports Golf. Right, where you have to swing the thing, and if you twist it the wrong way, then you're going to slice.
Right.
Even though we've also talked about how the controller's not good enough to really recognize all that stuff, that's sort of the theory, and it kind of works. So part of the challenge of playing the game is that you have to have accurate control of it. And so this play control is a bit more artistic, a little bit more like full of finesse, or requiring of finesse. Right. And if you just hit a button and it does the right type of move for you, I think of it almost like cheating. Then part of me thinks, well, why wouldn't you make it easy for them to pull off the moves they want?
Well, it's that there's another element there, right? I think what you're bringing up is that, yeah, if one control scheme so horrendously simplifies what you'd have to do normally to make it easier, kind of like manual versus automatic, then, I mean, it's... That is a case that I don't think directly applies to this situation specifically, because I don't think that one of those control schemes is – it's not like, you know, when you press a certain button on some of the versions of Street Fighter, you end up – you know, you can map like a whole special move to a button. It's not like that level of simplification. It's just a different way of doing things, and it's comfortable for more people. Like here's another example. You know, I love the Ace Combat games. Right, so they've had many of them. They're up to like I don't know. I mean, five, whatever.
I knew of six.
They're up to so many that they've stopped using numbers. Okay, so anyway, one thing that I really liked about them is I always preferred to use the digital pad because it offered me a more precise way to modulate the controls as opposed to using the thumbstick to control my pitch and yaw, yep. Right, or my pitch and roll, and. So at one point, they basically decided, right, that, okay, we're going to change our control scheme and not offer the ability to use the digital buttons anymore at all, even though there was no specific reason to do that other than the fact that they just decided that that's the way it was going to be. And you know what? It just it materially affected my enjoyment of the game and my performance in the game for every incarnation of it afterward. And that's the bottom line. It's just it's not as good. And I think that for them, you know, for the people who made Fight Night, it's just it's going to do the same thing. People, it may be a deal breaker for some people. And so once again, I ask the question, you know, why not? It's such a gimme, you know, like why not just let them have that?
But you're the same person that has also argued that game developers shouldn't do something with the game just because the players say it should be in the game.
Well, right. It's a fine line.
Oh,
it's
Rich, you are on a roll.
It's a very fine line.
I'm just saying, the developers want that control scheme to be the one and the standard control scheme, and they think everybody should play the game that way. And they don't think button controls should be in the game, apparently.
Right, but I guess what it comes down to is if I think they're wrong,
yeah,
then I think they should let them have the
but
other way to do it.
Are you going to play Fight Night round 4? No.
Well, I don't. I'm not, but I think they're wrong. And so because of that, I think they should
but
offer
I mean,
the alternative.
It's like the same thing like when in Oblivion, Bethesda decided not to have javelins. Obviously, it's different, but then thousands of people complained that javelins weren't going to be in Oblivion.
Well, of course. But
which they said,
it's, right, but that's not the issue. It's not simply an issue of just give the player whatever they want. I mean, I'm making a very, very subtle point here. Right? I think in very narrowly construed situations like this one, I think you should just give them that control scheme, that other option. But that doesn't
but they
mean
don't
hold
want
on, hold on.
That control
that
scheme
doesn't
to be
mean
in the
that
game.
I'm saying that just because a user requests a feature that feature should be provided to them. But that's a very, very different line of argumentation.
It just seems to me though that if the developer consciously made the decision to completely remove a control scheme from the game, they're doing that for a very specific reason.
Well, right. And
the reason
and maybe
is
they
because
are, but
they want the new control scheme to be the only control scheme because they obviously must feel it's better and everybody should
experience
it.
No, you know what? I don't think that I think that they don't think it's better. I think that what they're trying to do is make this control scheme basically a kind of like a marketing element for them, and so they're trying to push that, and they're obviously trying to make it very laborious for a player to play in a way that's comfortable for them.
I'm intrigued by the idea that it's just a marketing move, but I'm also ready to let the topic sit, and we'll move on to something else.
Well, me too.
Deal? All right. We'll be right back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woo-hoo!
We are so back, Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And...
yeah!
Woohoo! I want to remind everyone to go to our website, chatterboxgameshow.com. If you want to join in the chat when you're listening live, you may do that. These two fools over here, Rich and Josh, they are in the chat right now.
So in the chat.
So in the chat. And if you want to participate with us or communicate with us, you can do so by participating in the forums at golgatron.com. There's a link from our website, Chatterbox Game Show, or just head right over there. And
there's email, too.
You can email us. Do we have an email link, actually, to us on the staff page at Golgatron?
Everyone has their own individual email addresses and Twitters and pictures, except for you.
Except for me. I have access to my email again.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
One day I'll get put on that staff page. It's all right. I mean, it's only running on my server. That's no problem.
We could have taken a picture of you.
It's only my domain. I started it off, me and Rich, talking about it in the car. We started a new idea, and then, I'm not even on the staff page.
Yeah, it's your
don't
fault.
I don't take it personally, Josh. Not at all. Not
you come
one
over and dress up, and we'll take some awesome pictures.
All right.
We can get
I've
a picture of you with the glasses.
Suit.
Well, I'm glad people are going to be dressed
a
either
A birthday
way.
Suit, and I'm not underage, so it's not illegal.
We'll do it if you want to. I'll call you out right here.
Sweet, dude. I have a giant
as long
codpiece.
As you're not underage.
Okay. So speaking of calling people out, I wanted to call out Microsoft's Don Matrick. Which had this quote at around E3 when Project Intel was debuting, and I have some serious problems with this. And I don't know, maybe you will too, maybe you won't, I don't know. Anyway, he said basically that the controllers that we've been using all these years are, quote, a barrier separating video game players from everyone else.
This is the guy who came out and said, Natal is going to be awesome. We need everyone to be able to play games, so we want to take away the controller.
Now, this could be just some kind of catchy marketing speak that is really meaningless, but I don't think it is. I think that really the people at Microsoft truly do feel that this Natal thing is going to be not only the next best thing and the greatest thing ever, but also that there's this idea that the controller itself is somehow a device that's prevented video games from being as popular as they could possibly be, which to me sounds crazy, because that's kind of like saying that if cars didn't have steering wheels, they'd be more popular.
You suggested that it could be just a marketing thing, and I think that's really what it's the marketing to the segment of players that have not yet, you know, really picked up video games.
Now let me relate you guys a story, which this is going to explain where I think all this actually comes from and why I don't think it's just pure marketing speak, although certainly they are using it in that capacity. And one time a few years ago, I was I was at my cousin's place and I was showing my uncle some video games, right? It was just a regular old PlayStation 2. And I said, hey, I've got this video game that I want you to see, and it's really cool, and I think that you'll be really interested in it, right?
Was it Gran Turismo?
I don't even remember what it is, but it's not the point, right? The interesting part is that he never plays video games, okay? He hasn't played a video game since probably Pong. He's no interest in them. He likes to watch soccer. He does all these other things, but he doesn't play video games. So the moment came when basically I handed him the controller. And just by visual inspection, he decided that this was not something that he could ever, ever possibly try. And that was because the controller on it has 12 buttons and three different control sticks. Now, Don't give me your futile attempt at sarcasm here.
Because, oh, I'm sorry.
Because TV remote controls are completely different from controllers.
But obviously it's the same thing, though.
But
people
admittedly
would watch more
he didn't
TV
see
if it weren't for remote
no,
controls.
No. Let's not get off track here, okay?
I'm sure he didn't see L3 and R3.
Okay. And yeah, he didn't even understand the L3 and R3, I'm sure. But here's the point, right? He just looked at the interface, and even though some games may only use one button or two, it was the controller itself that was, that's what prevented him from wanting to even try, because the controller looks intimidating. It's got all these crazy buttons on it. It's got buttons on all these crazy faces. It's got several different types of buttons and different shapes.
I've definitely seen the complexity resistance before.
Did he put his hands on it? Did he hold it?
I don't know. That's not the point. Anyway, so it's not a stretch to say, and also to come to the conclusion, that our controllers today are literally a barrier for people to actually try and play video games.
True.
The problem is that this is just classic Microsoft misinterpretation of how things work, is that it's the complexity and the intricacy of the controller that makes it a barrier to a game. It's not the fact that there is a controller that's the barrier.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Like, it doesn't cost a lot to make a simple controller. We've gotten all fancy with the wireless and the accelerometers and all that crap. But if they made basically like the classic controller, NES or Super Nintendo style, something simpler, maybe with just three buttons.
You know what? Yeah, you know what I think they should do? I just pulled this out. I mean, we're just pulling this out of our heads right now, right? So they should just make a simple controller that's the default controller, and then maybe a expert controller for total, gamers who are hardcore.
I think it should just be packaged with both. Neither one is default or better, but have a simple one. Just like the Wii has the classic controller.
Right.
I really think it would have been better if that were default in the system.
Right.
I would actually argue against this somewhat. I remember my dad trying to play Nintendo. And he would take the controller, and he would move the controller in the direction that he wanted his character to go. And even though it only had a few buttons, he still could not get over the controller itself. even when it was that simple back in the day.
Even when it was a D-pad and two buttons.
Right,
it was
exactly.
But it wasn't
a barrier to him playing. I mean, he didn't look at the controller and say, oh, this is clearly too complex for my activities that I do on a daily basis.
But rather, he picked it up and he decided it was too complex after he started using it. So I guess it's a little different. Yeah.
So I think it's a good point, but I think it's a different issue.
If a person looks at a controller and then decides they're never going to play video games because they think it looks too complex, I don't care if that person never plays video games
in their
entire life.
Yeah, I know you don't care. Well, you can sit in your elitist ivory gamer tower.
Like, just because you look at something and go, oh, there's buttons on that, I don't want to do that ever, then don't do it. Don't complain about it and say, if you want to play video games, play video games.
No, Rich, but we're talking about the issue of the accessibility of a device, and so...
I don't know, I just think a person would never play video games.
I understand your assertion that you don't care about accessibility, but that's the topic I'm bringing up.
In addition, it admittedly would be much more difficult for us as gamers to be comfortable with the gaming controllers we use now if we didn't grow up basically increasing the complexity of the controller as we grew up with it. So we're really the ideal people to be using these controllers, but anybody new to gaming, which essentially is any new person anymore, it's so much.
My younger brother didn't start playing until like the N64, and he can play video games fine. I mean, granted, he was younger when he started playing games, but that controller was the weirdest controller ever created, and that was fine for him to understand how to use.
Not everyone's going to have this issue, right?
I'm just saying.
There are people who have this natural resistance. So your final argument here, the point about the controller is just that you disagree. You think controllers are fine. It's just the complexity of controllers that has made it difficult.
Right. I think that Microsoft is majorly misinterpreting this idea that the controller is a barrier to accessibility. I think that this Natel thing may have some uses, but I think that at best it's going to be maybe an integration with a normal controller where you do some kind of ancillary things using the Natel thing. But I think that games that exclusively use that, I really think that's going to flop on its face the more I think about it.
Actually, as a tangential topic here. You know how Microsoft won't allow you to, as a developer, to use avatars in certain ways?
Yes, and that was the other thing we wanted to get to last week. We have this nice list.
Oh, we never got to that?
No, we haven't. We have this nice list of things that avatars are not allowed to do.
Let's get to that. But before we do, I want to finish up the point about the controller.
Right.
I have a feeling Microsoft will probably say, at least for a certain amount of time, like maybe the first year of release, that with the Natal, if you make a game that uses the Natal, the game must not use an additional controller. I have a feeling that's going to be a requirement.
I have a feeling that won't be, because I think that would be crazy, but Microsoft has done crazier.
I think that's what they're going to do. Now, I haven't seen it in writing, but I'd be willing to bet a small amount of money on that.
Like $5?
Yeah, dude.
All right.
All right. What are we going? First year? What are the rules?
A time limit, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of logistics here.
So, okay, a year since its release, $5.
Yeah.
Okay.
My argument is that they would actually have a rule saying it's not allowed.
Okay.
Even for any time period.
Okay, and mine is they won't have a rule.
Okay.
Okay, you heard it here first, guys. We're shaking on it. $5. In about 3 years, someone's going to get $5.
Yes. All right. Now, do we have interest on that? No, because I'm holding your money and you're holding mine.
No, that's fine. It's too complicated.
That's fair. Okay.
Already factored in. I was going to start at $1, but the interest is factored in with $5.
I think they will have a rule that says developers cannot use other methods of control with the game.
All right, we'll see.
All right, so now let's talk about the avatars. We've got, 2 minutes left before the next segment? Minute and a half.
Okay, so plenty of time. So this is interesting. They basically released a bunch of rules that if you're a programmer or, if you're a developer and you're making a game with an avatar in it, then there's certain things that the avatar can't do. The avatar can't be a separate character from you, right? It's a representation of yourself, and so it can't act as if it's not yourself, right?
So it can't, say to the player, hey, do you want to go down to the toy store with
me? Right, which I enjoy very much because that kind of accent would drive me crazy. So other things, most of these are actually just concerned with inappropriate behavior, right? So violence, which causes blood, gore, dismemberment, decapitation, maiming, or mutilation. So all that stuff. I guess the avatars can't talk. Sexual innuendo or mildly explicit sexual descriptions or images or posturing, not allowed.
Excretion
is not allowed, so I guess they can't throw their snot at you.
I think people might be concerned about the no talking thing. They might wonder why, but that for those who haven't thought about it, is that it would be basically giving him an identity
right.
that is separate
from
the
you.
Player. Right.
And there's more stuff, which we'll get to.
It's an interesting idea. All right, we'll be right back.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Thanks for sticking through it with us three quarters of the way. And
thank you,
one quarter left.
Thank you for visiting UAT.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology, a wonderful school that could get you into the industry by teaching you how to make games. That's awesome, Rich.
Yeah.
All right. Before we finish up, I want to talk a little bit about PAX. But before we get into that, we want to talk more about avatars.
Yeah, let's finish this avatar thing, because there's really just one thing about it that I wanted to point out to everybody, which I thought was rather funny. And that is that some of these rules are kind of ill-defined, right? And the one I thought was interesting was basically, so the avatars, are one of the things they're not allowed to do, right, is to act in aggressive or threatening manners, right? And so they can't commit violence either.
So King of the Monsters with your avatar not happening?
So, well, no, but I think that it seems like the effect of the violence is what's really at stake here, right? So I guess like cartoon kind of like inconsequential violence is like, hey, oh, I'm, you know, throwing a building or whatever.
So like, bop you on the head as long as you're fine, but...
Yeah, but so here's the funny part, right? Avatars may leave innocents or bystanders slightly injured, but not dead. Okay, so slightly injured is okay. So somewhere between slightly injured and not dead is the threshold for what avatars can do.
All right, so like they could run through the street and push people away as they run by?
Well,
could,
I guess, but I'm thinking of much more interesting.
Like they could get a hairline fracture in their left ankle, but not both.
Not a compound.
Like, yeah, not like a full break, I think.
That's funny because Sony's taking the other approach where they really love that game called Pain. Where it's an avatar, but you're throwing a guy around, just hurting him everywhere.
That, and there's a limit to how fat your avatars can be, I've noticed.
Rich was not able to make a lifelike representation.
I need to be rounder. They don't let me.
All right.
Maybe that's Microsoft's way of saying you should not be more fat than this.
Well,
because that would be more than slightly injured.
I'm pretty sure that they don't allow breasts on the avatars. So that would make it tough. But even on the women, the female avatars, right?
Yeah.
No breasts.
No breasts. They seem to all be very innocent 10-year-olds. So we won't have any naked avatars, that's for sure. Because then they would be young avatars, right? This is a discussion we had before the radio.
Oh, yes.
Before the show today about the acceptability of nudity in American
society. We've been kind of saving this, and I don't want to get into it too much because I think that we could just talk about this subject for a very long time.
Oh, was this actually related to something we wanted to talk about?
Yeah, it was.
Was that unintentional?
Okay, let's just forget we
ever
said
that.
No,
go ahead. I thought that we were enjoying talking about child pornography before the show started.
All I'm going to say is that apparently there's this thing called the 2003 Protect Act, and that act makes it a crime to possess a drawing of a certain kind, even if it's not a drawing of any real person. That is a federal crime. That's all I'm going to say about it now. Like, I think we should leave this actually for next week.
Okay. That's so cool.
I've piqued your interest. I've perhaps enraged some of you, and you're just going to have to wait until next week to find out what happens.
I doubt that part, but the way it kind of relates to us is that it sort of relates to something we talked about weeks ago with the Rape Play game, right?
Yes. So there's a game called Rape Play, which is a play on words with two words, which you could probably figure out. And that game, by extension, is, if you possess it, a federal offense.
Now. But, like, now. Apparently it was sold by Amazon for years.
But, not before people noticed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So. It was okay before then. I wonder, did Amazon get in trouble for selling that? Since if they had investigated, like, they should have known.
I have no idea.
I wonder if Walmart ever sold it.
I highly doubt that. maybe Walmart in Japan.
All right. Now, Rich, we got a couple minutes, and you really want to talk about ZeniMax.
ZeniMax. And id.
Let's do it, man.
So, ZeniMax bought id, and that's awesome, is what it comes down to. ZeniMax is the parent company of Bethesda Softworks as well.
Mm-hmm.
It makes the, you know, Morrowind and Oblivion and Fallout 3 and all that stuff. And id, on the other hand, is one of the greatest game developers of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't make boring games at all.
They created the first-person shooter. Where would we be without id? Seriously?
Probably with someone else's first-person shooter.
Yeah, exactly. And it wouldn't be nearly as good.
Okay. So anything else that makes this awesome?
It makes it awesome to me because, one, now these two developers that are awesome are, like, in the same little family of companies now, which is cool.
So that's double the awesomeness.
Basically.
Do you have any reason to actually feel that this is awesome other than just the fact that now two of your friends live in the same house?
I think it's awesome because
it's going to allow id to focus specifically on developing their engine, their technology, as well as their actual games, and not have to worry about licensing their software or finding a publisher for every game they make. Because they make their game, and then they go and say, okay, who wants to publish this game? They don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, it,
so basically, they have
lots
to,
of trouble finding
they have
publishers.
To hire one fewer person to deal with those deals.
John Carmack has said they've had problems in the past with their properties with different publishers because, you know, they publish, you know, this game with Activision, that game with EA, this game with, you know, whoever, and then how are they going to continue support for that game or what is going to be done with that game once it's released is they've had conflicts with their publishers about that kind of stuff. And now they're going to be with ZeniMax, so ZeniMax will publish all of their future games. Rage will still be with EA because they've already signed a contract with them.
But who publishes Bethesda's games on consoles?
Bethesda does. I mean, ZeniMax does. Bethesda Softworks is really their own publisher.
ZeniMax releases console stuff?
Yeah, that's what they're like an independent publisher practically.
Because I can't remember ever seeing a ZeniMax logo on a console.
Yeah, it shows Bethesda Softworks. It looks exactly like the logo of ZeniMax. Yeah,
but they say it's a ZeniMax company.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're basically self-published is what it comes down to.
Okay, so basically it gives them an easier avenue to publish their titles.
Yes, easier access to publish their titles so they can focus on developing. John Carmack also said they're probably going to increase their team size a bit more now that they're going to be able to focus more on developing and stuff like that. But
now, I thought John Carmack left to make Rockets.
No, John Carmack's still there, dude.
He enjoys making rockets. He's still the man.
Well, yes. I guess if anybody can make Rockets and still continue to make games, it's probably Carmack.
Yeah. But one other thing I think is going to be really good is because ZeniMax, hopefully, as the publisher, will be able to focus on actually licensing the Tech 5 engine and any future engines there from there on, and making
increasingly exorbitant piles and piles of cash.
Hopefully. Because hopefully, I mean, if the Tech 5 engine is as good as Carmack says it's going to be.
This is the Rage thing?
Yeah, Rage and Doom 4 will also be on the Tech 5 as well. But basically, it's just amazing technology that is better than any engine that's available on the market right now. And John Carmack previously said that they're really not planning on licensing the engine to many developers because, you know, they're going to focus on developing their own games and then licensing it to a select few developers to, you know, use their engine or whatever because they don't really want to focus on that.
For the record,
now,
I'd like to think that anyone making an engine now would be making an engine that's better than ones that are currently available.
Yeah, obviously.
I just want to throw that out there.
But, I mean, it's better for a lot of reasons. I mean, scalability and being able to design the game within the engine much, much easier, mega textures and supporting any console and Linux, Mac, PC, whatever it might be. I mean, there's a lot behind it.
Blah, 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 blah.
Exactly. But
awesome is your summation.
Basically.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
Well, you know, when you have two forces of awesomeness combining to create an even greater force of awesomeness.
Never any conflict there.
Sometimes the awesomeness is just so great that you can't find any other words other than just the repeated stutter of awesome to describe it.
And if nobody else uses the engine, at least hopefully Bethesda will. And so when they make the next Elder Scrolls game, it'll actually have a good engine to run on rather than just horrible implementation of the Havok's physics engine, because I love Oblivion and Fallout, but, oh, those physics are god-awful.
Okay. So you're looking forward to...
Yeah. I think they're fine.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Do you see when, like, animals just, like, kind of twitch down a hill, and then when you walk down steps, you go forward and then fall 8 steps, and then go forward and fall 8 steps again? That's the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's because of... Havok.
Havok physics engine, the worst implementation of that physics ever.
How do you know that's because of Havok, dude?
How is it not physics?
When I've seen Havok, it's always been pretty good.
Steps? Well, I'm not saying the Havoc itself. I'm saying the implementation of Havoc within the Gamebryo engine that they've concocted.
Okay, so
is horrible.
Now he's backpedaling. You see that? Just a little bit.
All right, fine. We only have a minute left.
It's bad.
So I want to point out to everyone that Chatterbox and Golgatron are preparing to go to PAX. We're working with Penny Arcade people to figure out what events we're going to do there. Historically, we have done Family Feud. I've done the Chatterbox Treasure Box. And I'm trying to put together a new thing, which is kind of like a joystick building arts and craftsy session campy thing, which would be on a very small scale of probably only like 10 to 20 people, where we show you sort of how a joystick would be built from parts and bring some parts in for you, and you can like paint your own thing and decide where your buttons go and what kind of buttons and whatever. So you those people would then leave with an awesome arcade quality joystick. But I do want to hear people's feedback on whether or not they like the idea. So we need to hear from people. If you're interested in that sort of thing, let us know. Of course, don't tell me you're interested in it if you don't plan on actually going to PAX, because I really don't care about you if you're not going to go there. So just want to hear your feedback. What do you think of the game shows that we've done in the past, if you've seen them, and about possible new ideas of like a controller building session? Want to hear what you have to say about it, and then that would validate whether or not we go ahead and do them again. And again, for the record, PAX apparently is a week later than it has been in the past. Not the last weekend of August, but the first full weekend of September, like 4 through 6, I think.
Right before school.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it depends where you are in the country, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Here in Arizona, they start way before September, don't they?
Do kids go to school here
that's
in the state?
Good point. Yeah. Good point. All right, well, that wraps it up for this week. If you guys have any questions or anything, feel free to email us at the Chatterbox Game Show site or at Golgatron.com. Josh, do we have anything big aimed for Golgatron that we want to tell people about?
Just visit the site. We'll have stuff up there.
We got forums. We got a staff page now.
We got all sorts of stuff up there. It's getting better by the day.
Photographios.
Soft porn.
Yes, definitely.
All right, kind of. Now the site is complete.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back next week, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bases are belong to us.